God's Word. Well, it's hard to believe this year, if you think back, that our weather reporters were warning us about torrential rain and flooding. Maybe you can think back to March and April when we had Storm Emma, the beast from the east, leaving lots of Northern Ireland without power and soaked to the skin. Of course, in the last few weeks, it hasn't been anything like that at all, has it? In fact, we've had something of a drought here in Northern Ireland. Very little rainfall indeed. It's been so dry, in fact, that we've had some wildfires spreading. Just a week ago yesterday, there was a fire up in Scrabble, up in the golf club. You could smell it. You could see the smoke from our house. Thankfully, under control pretty quickly. Needless to say, in the last few weeks and months, the people of Northern Ireland, we know something, don't we, about both floods and flames. And here we are today looking at one of God's great and precious promises. A promise that speaks about floods and flames. Not so much literal floods and flames, but here in Isaiah 43 verse 2, we have the prophet, and he's using these terrible, these awesome, these fearsome events. He's using them as pictures, word pictures, illustrations, metaphors that describe real life situations God's people find themselves in. I think we all know a thing or two, don't we, about these kinds of floods, these kinds of flames. It might be a financial crisis you find yourself in. It might be loss of employment, no income to support your family. It's maybe that announcement that comes from the doctor or that dreaded telephone call. And you find yourself in a flood, or as if you're surrounded by flames. Well, listen to our promise this morning. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. What a wonderful, unchanging promise we have here, given to the redeemed people of God, the previous verse. And as those friends who have been redeemed ourselves, men, women, young people who have been bought at such a cost, here's a promise for us today. Here's a promise for us as a church when we find ourselves in floods and flames. Here's a promise for us in our families when we find ourselves in the flood or surrounded by flames. Here's a promise for us as individuals. Some of the most comforting words of the Bible. They're almost like a sun, the sun appearing behind dark storm clouds, bringing warmth and reassurance to us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Let's see four things from this incredible promise this morning. Four things that we can pull out for us. Firstly, the certain prospect of floods and flames. The certain prospect of floods and flames. You will know, I hope, that nowhere in the Bible is there even a hint that God's people will be given a life of constant ease and luxury. The Bible does not even give a hint of that. Not at all. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have treats and pleasures. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. In this world, he said, you will have trouble. And here we find Isaiah saying the same thing of facing waters and rivers and fire and flame. Water in the Bible is often associated with danger and difficulty. You can think of the flood in Noah's day. You can think of the drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. The Psalms, again and again, they portray the sea as something fearful, something sinister. It was from the sea that terrible storms came from. That's probably the reason why the book of Revelation speaks of there not being a sea in heaven. That is, it speaks of a new world where everything fearful, everything sinister will be absent. But until then, we will certainly have to go through waters, rivers even, some trials, difficulties that threaten to overwhelm us and just sweep us off our feet. Or they could be like flames of fire around us. If the nature of flooding water is to overwhelm us, surely the nature of fire is to consume us. Fire is used often in the Bible to signify punishment and purification. And Isaiah speaks of trials and testings here that are like fire, flame. And the thing is, it's inevitable that we'll face these kinds of trials. Listen very closely. When you pass through the waters, when you walk through fire, not if, but when. It's just taken for granted that you have to go through them. There's no bridge, and there's no boats by which you can pass over the waters. There's nothing said about the fire being put out or waiting till it grows low. It's going through the fire. Will we listen again to Jesus? Will we write it down if we need to, expecting it to come true? In this world, you will have trouble. Of course, there's lots of people don't like this, don't like verses like Isaiah 43:2. You'll meet some Christians and they'll say, well, actually, true believers don't go through trials, friend. Trials, they're rather a sign that your faith is not strong enough. It's a sign that your prayers, they're not fervent enough. There's something deficient in your spiritual life. Here's proof, friends. Here's proof. God's people will most certainly pass through waters and through flame. We're not immune from suffering. No matter who you are, you will go through deep waters and fierce flames. It's inevitable. It's a certain prospect. Well, what do we do with that truth then? Do we just live our lives cringing in fear of this? Well, not at all. Let's think secondly. Having thought of the certain prospect, let's think secondly, the comforting promise. The comforting promise for floods and flames. The comforting promise. What does it say? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Well, let's imagine that the trial before you is like deep water, a river with a strong gushing current that's just sweeping everything away before it. Does God say, when you get to the waters, you have to stop there? No further. Is that what he says? No. No. He says, when you pass through the waters. Isn't that word through so important? We're to go through the waters. Your way to heaven lies through the flood. We're not going to be stopped by it or swept away by it. The promise is, when you pass through the waters, they shall not overwhelm you. Even if they might be near your head and it feels like you're just above water, God says, they'll not overwhelm you. There's no trial that's too difficult or too hard or too deep that it's going to stop you and drown you. What about the fire, though? Well, water's one thing, but Well, can we get through the fiery trials? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What does he say here? When you walk through again fire, when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. There's not a lovely word there. Walking through fire. When you walk. Now, if I had to go through literal flames of fire, I would not be walking. I would take a running jump and leap through it. But here, the believer is said to spiritually walk through the fire. In other words, there's not even a need to quicken your usual pace. A little bit like Psalm 23 here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We can walk through the flames. Through. And we won't be burned. And the flame will not consume us. And just think of Daniel's three friends again. Thrown into the fiery furnace, refusing to bow down to the king's statue. Remember how they came out of that burning fiery furnace? There wasn't even the whiff of fire or smoke on them. I mean, I'm sure you've had barbecues over the last few days. My clothes smell for days after doing a barbecue. There wasn't even a smell of smoke on these men. A furnace that was so hot, the guards who threw them in, they were burnt up. And yet the fire never touched these three men. They were walking unbound, and the flame did not consume them. And surely, in like manner, every child of God, sustained by the same grace, can walk through the flood and walk through the flame. What comfort that is. What amazing comfort that is for those of us. And we find ourselves right in the flood this morning, or we're surrounded by the flames. Or maybe this is something that's looming up ahead of us, and maybe we don't even know it's ahead of us. Does this not dig our roots deep down deep, deep into God's Word? God says the deepest water will not overwhelm you. The hottest flame will not consume you. Well, how can we be sure of that? What is it that guarantees this for us? Is this because, well, we're so strong and we've got such faith and we're just so amazing that we'll get through it and we'll be fine? Well, it's not because of us, is it? We're not strong in and of ourselves. The truth, rather, is we're not alone in these difficulties and trials. We're not alone in the floods and the flames. That brings us to think thirdly, the constant presence in the floods and flames. The constant presence. They are a certain prospect. We have a comforting promise, but that there's a constant presence. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. Friends, there are no providences that can separate us from the love of God. There's no trials, however tragic and however heartbreaking, that can detach us from Him. I will be with you, he says. And we need to get this truth straightened out in our heads. You won't have less of God, friends, when you're in financial difficulty. You won't have less of God when you're sick. You won't be separated from God because your mother is taken from you or because your child dies before you. You won't have less of Him. Here's a promise. Here's a promise that in the deepest floods, the fiercest flames, you'll realize the presence of God like never before. That was actually the experience of Daniel's friends, wasn't it? The king, he looked into the furnace and he said, "Did we not cast three men? How come I see four? And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." It was God appearing with them. They're walking in the fire, that the fire's doing nothing to them, but it's bringing them closer to the living God. And they're face to face with what appears to be a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. The furnace. The furnace exposed them to the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Have you not proved this promise in your own lives, friends? I see in front of me this morning some who have been through fire and been through water. And those flames and those waters, they might have given an extra grey hair or two, maybe a wrinkle here or there. But what do you have to say concerning your God? Has He ever failed you? You faced many a flood and flame, perhaps, but has He ever left you in them, all alone? Can you not look back? Can you not say, "Well, actually, it was in the flood, it was in the flame that I became more aware of God's presence with me. It was in the fiery trial that I realized, like never before, He is with me. He never leaves me." You'll have heard, many of you will have heard me mention John Patton before. John Patton, a Scottish missionary, he went to a set of small islands just off Australia about 150 years ago. The islands back then were filled with a remote group of flesh-eating cannibals. And almost immediately after landing on the first island, John Patton's wife died of illness, followed by his newborn son. And he had to sit and guard their grave to keep them from the cannibals. And that's how he began his ministry in those islands. And his autobiography is just full of descriptions of how he faced terrifying circumstances on these islands. But he was convinced of this promise, God with him. He was convinced of it. Listen to some of his own words. "I have had my nearest and dearest glimpses of the face and smile of my blessed Lord in those moments when musket, club or spear were levelled at my life. I can truly say that those were the moments when I felt my Saviour to be most truly present, inspiring, empowering me." He's saying the same as this promise. He said, "It was in the waters, it was in the flames that I felt my Saviour most truly present." Here's a promise of the best of company in the worst of conditions. Are you going through the waters? Are you facing the flames? Take courage and comfort from God's word. Almighty God is right there with you. Jesus Christ, who's been through the worst flood and the fiercest flame, He'll never leave you or forsake you. The constant presence. The fourth thing then, the crucial purpose of floods and flames. This is not so much in the promise, but this is really what the rest of Scripture helps to reinforce for us. The crucial purpose of floods and flames. We have to realize that God is going to allow us to go through tests and trials. It's crucial then that we get this. He has a purpose in this. He doesn't do it randomly or vindictively. He has a purpose, a very definite and loving purpose. It cannot be to do us harm. It cannot be to do us harm. He has loved us from all eternity. He's purchased us with the precious blood of His Son. We know His purpose is not to do us harm. We know that the flames and the floods, they cannot burn us or drown us. But what's the purpose of them? God's purposes in all our afflictions, it's not to injure us, but to improve us. To improve us. He works in our trials so that we're changed by them. So not to destroy us, but to improve us. Don't we find that some of those sins that we constantly fall into, sometimes it's only in the flood that they get swallowed up. Sometimes it's only in the flames of the fiery furnace that they get burned up. Our pride, our anger, our envy, whatever it might be, and we're improved. We're changed, we're molded, we're shaped more and more into the image of Christ. But we have to go through the trials, through the flood, so that our rough edges, they might be eroded away. We have to go through the flames so that the dross of our lives might be burned away. That's His great purpose. He's molding, He's shaping, He's conforming us to the image of His Son. There is a loving purpose in it all. Changing the way we think, the way we act, the way we react. And so Peter could say, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been tested by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. For a little while, we face floods and flames. It is a certain prospect. But take heart from this promise this morning, friends. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, he says. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. We would do well to let these words settle deep down in our hearts and lives, that they might go with us all the days of our life, through all the floods and through all the flames, whether it's as a congregation, whether it's in our families, or whether it's as individuals. Amen.